let's return back to what shall we say Abraham our father has found. I know we've been on this for a while. He's found a lot of things. And, you know, every time Abraham has preached, this is right now. I'm not saying anything's wrong with this. He's preached in regards to his faith, but he had a life. But the faith, we're looking at his faith. He was a man of faith. And I need to be a man of faith. You need to be a man and a woman of faith. You need to be people of faith. We are believers. We have faith. We are believers. We have faith in God. Confidence in God. We are believers. And Abraham did. And he never let go of that. He held on to that. Struggled with it at times, yes. As I do, I like to think that I'm growing in that. I'm not shaking when things come, you know. At one time, maybe I shook a little bit. And sometimes we wax bold and we declare things like Abraham did. So here we are. We had just gone through chapter 24. And he went, and it was in Abraham's heart at the time. You know, Sarah never saw his bride, Isaac. She never got to go to the wedding. And I think about these little events in our life. There's times when mom and dad or grandparents don't live that long. So why am I even bringing that up as though it's some kind of dark cloud or negativity coming upon this message? It isn't at all. It's what shall we say Abraham our father has found. And he has had disappointment and loss in his life. And sometimes we do. But through it all, the Lord was faithful to him. And through your disappointment and loss and things that have happened to you, struggles. Sometimes you feel like you've been whipped down, but God is more than enough for you. God is more than enough for you. And he was to Abraham. And he was to Abraham. And so we're looking at that as well as he lost his brother when he was 75 years old. His younger brother died. And we think that that was nothing. Well, it shook him, most likely. Every time he looked into Lot's eyes, do you think he thought of his brother at all? Not in bad ways. Look what you did to me. You know, he left me your mess. You know, and it wasn't. You know, because it's my line of thinking about Abraham was he was a man of responsibility. I think he was a man of responsibility, and I think he stood up, and he was a father to Lot. After his father passed away, Terah, I think. It's just like I can't prove that by scripture, but you read the storyline and you try to look at my own life like that. You know, would I do that? Would I take that challenge of taking someone else's son, raising him, and he was influencing him, and because Lot was close to Abraham, he was wealthy too. He was close to the blessing. It does matter who you hang out with. You know, it does. Prosperity will just rub off. You know, you hang in a pig pen for a while, you start smelling like them. You hang with men and women of faith, and you start smelling like them. You start acting like them. You start being like them. So being around unbelief, being around people who religious, I'm not throwing a stone here, I'm just saying who are we hanging around. So it does matter who we're hanging around. So it there's many things we could bring out about Abraham. You know, we could go through the story again, we could rehearse, and we'd never get to the end, because we are at the end at this point. So it came into his heart after Sarah died. What am I going to do for my son? What am I going to do for my son, Isaac? What am I going to do? His culture was, you know, Terah got his wife for him, Sarah. If we read the very beginning of it, I think the end of 11 or chapter 12 as it goes, begins to go into chapter 12. that was kind of cultural. I kind of like that culture. I think I'm wiser than my 17, 18, 9-year-old. I think I am, but that's okay. I'm going to get him a wife, a woman. So this is a phenomenal story. It's a phenomenal story of how his servant, I think Eleazar, he sent him back with a promise. Eleazar, don't you fail me. Don't you let me down. Did you ever have somebody that you respect a lot give you a task? Right? Am I right, Shane? I gave you one simple thing to do. Have you heard that kind of story before? You had one thing to do. Don't fail in this. To bring this woman. And don't think it a light matter. It was not a light matter. The future of the nation of Israel was at stake. The future of your salvation was at stake at this moment. I mean, really, we could look at it as just a really cool story. It's way deeper than that. Way deeper. So Eleazar comes back with the girl. He comes back with the girl. The appointed woman. Here she is, Rebecca. And we end this chapter 24. The servant told Isaac, this is the end of 24. The servant told Isaac all the things that had been done. How God did this. This is God did this. I can't make this up. You can imagine him telling Isaac, I can't make this up, Isaac. I'm sitting there. I'm tired from my journey. I'm sitting down and I say to the Lord, I put my hands on my face and I said to the Lord, Lord, if a woman comes down here and I say to her, give her a drink, give me a drink. And she says, oh, here, sure, take some of this. And I'll water your camels too. And it happened exactly like he said. He prayed to the Lord of Abraham. The Lord of Abraham. He prayed to him. Don't take it lightly. This was a huge matter in his life. So he took Rebecca and she became his wife. And he loved her. Thus Isaac was comforted after the death of his mother. Sarah died. She didn't get to see the wedding. Okay. Here's Abraham. He's married to her nearly 50 years. If you are interested in the math. If you look, you can see it. You can pick it out. 50 years with a woman. The woman he loved. There was instances in his life, and we know about that, and we you know, little dark spots. We understand that, but see, we all make mistakes. And in the midst of our mistakes, God shows himself faithful to lift us up and to bring us out of them, and that we learn from things. And here he is. Sarah's not around anymore. So, is it a stretch? Even though the scripture doesn't say it this way, but is it a stretch that he was a human being like you're a human being? That he was lonely at all? What shall we say Abraham our father has found? The Lord had to minister to his soul just like he does you. Just like he does you. And he ministers to you. And here he has lost his wife, the love of his life. You know, Hagar was just a thing. It was a cultural thing. You know, not throwing a stone at that whole situation. But we'll see more. That's not done yet. That's not done yet with Hagar. Now, Abraham took another wife. For chapter 25. This is what they do. Sometimes you get lonely. There's nothing wrong with being married. The Lord himself, God said, it's not good for man to be alone. Didn't he? Didn't he say that? It's not good for man to be alone. Now, if you can endure it, that's fine. You endure it, but not everybody's like that. There's companionship. He understood that. There's things he learned in that. He had relationships with other leaders, other tribal people that he had respect for, and they had the highest respect for him We see that all through here, all through the storyline. What shall we say Abraham, our father, has found? He wasn't that lonely little island that never gets touched. He was there in the land of promise, in the place God told him to be. He was right in the place God told him to be. And he was with the people God told him to be with. So he took a wife whose name was Keturah. She bore him 6 more children. Remember, how old is he now? If you do the math, you'll find that he's 140 years old or so. He's 140. He's going to live 35 more years. And then he's going to go to be with the Lord. So in this 35-year period of time, he gets married again and he has more children. Not saying anything good or bad about that. But this is what he did. The Lord didn't rebuke him for that. It's just something that jumps out of Scripture into your life. And it says in verse 4, now the sons of Midian were Ephrah and Eper and Hanak and Abida and Elba. All of these were sons of Keturah. Now Abraham, this is the important part I want to see in this. Abraham gave all that he had to Isaac. It belonged to Isaac, the promise. He gave all that he had to them. But to the sons of his concubines, Abraham gave gifts while they were still living and sent them away. And he sent them away from his son Isaac eastward. So they went towards Egypt. And the north area and Egypt, and that's where they began to settle over in those areas. These were sons of Abraham's, which became the Arabic tribes, which we know today. But there's also, we can't forget about, yes, Ishmael. We can't forget about that people group. It's coming up. But to the sons of his concubines, I read that part, verse 7, these are all the years of Abraham's life that he lived, 175 years. Abraham breathed to the last. So that 35 years went quick, didn't it? Here we are reading 10-year groups over chapters of periods of time, and now we read one verse. He gets married, and now we're at the end of his life already. So there's not really much to say about that in between there. The Lord didn't say much about it. It doesn't reveal it. Abraham breathed his last, and he died in a ripe old age, an old man satisfied with life, and he was gathered to his people. Then his sons, now you think we could just close the book and we say that Abraham's life is over, but see, as Pastor Bill was just bringing this up recently, there's some things that come to you in vision that are beyond your life. And so that's why I feel like I can move a little forward in this and say Abraham still has an effect. He had an effect. His faith had an effect all the way to Calvary. And the light didn't go out through the resurrection of Isaac. The faith of that, he was willing and obedient to give the blessing to the Lord, which brings us and shows us a picture of Calvary. If you can give your son, I'll give my son. What a beautiful picture of salvation for me. All the way back here in the first book of the Old Testament. Then his sons, Isaac and Ishmael, they're still familiar with each other. Are they friends? I don't know. But they both had enough respect to come back and bury their father. That's what we can see. Buried him in the cave of Machpelah, in the field of Ephron, the son of Zorah, the Hittite, facing Mamre. We find this place earlier in Scripture where he buried Sarah. The field which Abraham purchased from the sons of Heth. There Abraham was buried with Sarah, his wife. It came about after the death of Abraham that God blessed his son Isaac. That is where the blessing was. blessing resides in Isaac. Isaac is an important character. You know, who is the important character? I challenged the Bible school students when we were going through some of these things. Isaac is going to have, I don't want to run ahead of myself, but he's going to have twins to Rebekah. Remember their names? Esau and Jacob. Well, Jacob's going to have 12 sons. And that's a whole other storyline, which the Lord's not saying to me, go there, you know, in some future time. But he's going to have 12 through these four different women. Well, who's the shining star? No. So it's so easy to get your eyes on Joseph because, wow, what a story of redemption. Yes, story of deliverance, a story of redemption. But who's the shining star? That's who it is, the Lion of the Tribe of Judah. Keep your eye on Judah. There's one chapter devoted to Judah. It's important. Only one in Genesis, only one. Which the Lord's not telling me to go there. That's not my point. My point is, what should we say Abraham, our father, has found? He found his home in the place where God has him. In the land of Canaan. That land of Canaan is going to be throughout the storyline. And it's not just a physical place. It is a spiritual place. The man who walks in the spirit will have to see these kinds of things. The land of Canaan, the promised land, is according to the Holy Spirit. God is going to bring us to a place of peace, a place of home. That's where we will reside. In him I live and move and have my being. In him I live and move and have my being. I overcome the land of the flesh, the land that has famine and has drought and sends me this way and that way because circumstances of life are in my way and I struggle and I go in circles in my life. Oh no, we don't live there. Those who are sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. That's what we like. That's what we understand in faith. This is what we understand. So, it came about after the death of Abraham that God blessed his son Isaac, and Isaac lived in, and I'm doing my best on this word, Beer Lahaya Roi. Beer Lahaya Roi. Now, there are these are the records of the sons of Ishmael. Guess what? We're not going through that because this is not what this message is about. So I have a little bit of discipline, but I will take a look at the end of verse 16. 12 princes according to their tribes. Ishmael, 12 princes according to the tribes. Once again, these tribes were promised to Hagar. Already God has a plan set in place. These are going to be significant in ways of revelation. Ways of revelation that we begin to understand our place in spirit. Ways of revelation. The Apostle Paul could see it. Peter could see it. James could see it. These different men understood the difference between spirit, a world of spirit, and a world of flesh. That you're a man, that you're a spirit. Brother Ema touched on so many of these things over the last couple of days. I was dumbfounded. Your spirit, he talked about this. Your spirit, you have a soul and you live in a body. Brother Ema brought this out. It always was that way. It's not a New Testament idea. Abraham had a spirit and he could contact and he could interface with God. Well, he was a sinner. Yes, he was, just like us. The idea of sacrifice, Abraham sacrificed, but it had not come to its full maturity yet of what God had intended for this. Where's the priesthood at? The only one we see is Melchizedek. Where is the priesthood? Excuse me, I hope I'm allowed to say this. It's in his loins. He hasn't been born yet. But the idea was in the mind of God. There was going to be a way of mercy and compassion in the mind of God. His mercy and compassion was going to come upon the children of Israel when they came out of Egypt. That he was going to raise up the house of Levi, who Moses was, and Aaron. These were of the house of Levi that were going to become a priesthood that was going to look at this idea of atonement and sacrifice through the blood of animals, bulls and goats, which again is going to foresee and foreshadow the picture of the sacrifice of Christ as we know it in the New Testament. But these pictures are all over the place in the Old Testament. So here are 12 princes have come up, verse 19. Now these are the records of the generation of Isaac. We can look at that a little bit. Abraham's son, Abraham became the father of Isaac. Isaac was, here's the numbers now. This will plot you along the place of where's God taking this. He was 40 years old when he took Rebekah. Well, Abraham sent his servant into his brother's land to bring her back. So that would make him 140 at this time. And it was from this time moving forward that he remarried and had six other children. So he didn't have any problem having more children at his age. He marveled, God, can you possibly give me a child at 99 years old? And yet he keeps going. His faith just launched him into a new area, even though we don't see much significance out of that. At least I don't. You know, I don't. Maybe you do. So here he goes. The daughter of Bethuel, the Aramean of Padan-Aram, the sister of Laban. He's going to come up as we move forward in history. The Aramean to be his wife. Isaac prayed to the Lord on behalf of his wife. How old is Isaac? 40. So time has passed and we don't, it's not just real obvious, but it will come out. Watch. Isaac prayed to the Lord on behalf of his wife because she was barren. Kind of like his father's, his mother in her early days. She was barren. The Lord answered him. The Lord hears the prayer of those who he's blessed. He hears your prayer. The Lord answered him. It wasn't like you pray to a rock or a tree and they don't listen and God laughs. You'll see this in prophetic scripture as you move forward. With idols in your life, who's your source? And she conceived. Watch. But the children struggled together within her. And she said, if it's so, was there a thought in her mind? It's like, I don't know what's going on here. Am I going to lose these children? What's going on in her mind? Well, she takes matters in her own hand, and to her credit, I must say. I'm just observing this. Why then am I this way? So she went to inquire of the Lord. That was the right thing to do. When you have struggles in your life, you go inquire of the Lord, and he'll help you. Because he hears you. Because you are important to him. Very important. And the Lord said to her, he wasn't silent. It's like, I'm not answering her. No. The Lord said to her, gave her understanding. He was giving her revelation. You wonder why this inside here is like jumping beans and why it's going crazy. Two nations are in your womb. Well, this is going to be a spiritual thought that's going to translate into the New Testament later when we understand it. The two peoples will be separated from your body, and one shall be stronger than the other. And there's so much spiritual and revelation in this thought here. God's through the life of Isaac and Rebekah. We're going to see a storyline emerge here that's going to carry us into Galatians, into Romans, into Hebrews. The older shall serve the younger. again, the Apostle Paul is going to explain this. He's going to explain it in a way of doctrine. And this doctrine I'm talking about is the sovereignty. And this has been a word that's been on my heart now for 6 or 8 months. Sovereignty of God, because I hear many people trumpeting voices saying thus and so and these things and those things, thinking that they actually understand what the plan of God is in a matter. What matter? Any matter. If you want to talk about the matter of Ukraine, why is this happening, O Lord? It's God Himself that rules and reigns over nations. And He raises one nation up and He brings another nation down. And I understand, we do not understand these things. We think we do sometimes, and we make declarations. And I'm not just bringing up the subject of the Ukraine, but you could go to any amazing matter you want to talk about. And I want to ask you about the sovereignty of God. Is He allowed to do what He wants to? I have to think about that. Is He allowed to pass judgment and to do things that He wants to do because of wickedness of Sodom and Gomorrah? And He just makes some random decision to, I'm just going to go down and destroy those cities. And other cities around it were destroyed as well. So I'm passing this thought around, not preaching on the subject of sovereignty, but He does. And that sovereignty translates into the New Testament in weird, in interesting ways too. And through the prophetic scripture, the potter and the clay. Doesn't the potter have a right over the clay to do what he wants to and fashion it the way he wants to? Because he has a purpose for that. It's in the mind of the potter. You might come and buy it. You might have an idea you want to use that for a coffee cup, but that's not what it's for. It's where you throw your spare change in when you come home. It's a coffee cup. Not to me. I have some coin. I throw it in the cup. I don't know what you use your spare your vessels for. What do you use your vessels for? See, then this is the problem with vessels. Some vessels think they're supposed to be used this way. But that's not what the sovereign king has in mind. He has in mind for you something completely different. So we have to do what Rebecca did. We have to wait on the Lord. And we have to go, what is this? Why am I so struggling in life? And I've heard testimony after testimony in many years. And I'm sure Brother Steve can attest to this. You know, that people will come to you. Why am I struggling so much in life? You're not in the right place. And Paul will bring a whole thought, spiritual thought and idea about the body parts and how parts are out of joint. And you wonder why. And it's by the effectual working of each and every part. We have an increase in the body of Christ. Not just the working of every part, the effectual working of every part. My shoulder will only do so much and then that's it. You try to make it do more than that, then it's not going to do it. Two nations are in your womb. The older will serve the younger. When her days to be delivered were fulfilled, she had her children. Behold, there were twins in her womb. Now the first came out. You know these stories from Bible school and, you know, from children's ministry. He was red, hairy, and red. Now the first came forth red all over like a hairy garment, and they named him Esau. He's going to be significant character as we move through Scripture. Afterwards, not only in the New Testament, Old Testament, but also in the New Testament. Afterwards, his brother came forth with his hand holding on to Esau's heel. Now, God had already decided. Now, let me ask you this, just for food for thought. Have you ever considered this thought? Because I did. That Rebekah may have told her husband Isaac that this is what the Lord told me, that the older will serve the younger. Now, it doesn't tell us. So I'm just saying they love each other. They're communicating their lives together. You know, I'm not thinking there's secrets here. I'm thinking she's rolling over every day and she's feeling this jumping beans and she's wondering what's going on. And she's like, and maybe Isaac said, why don't you just go and pray? You know, you hear that. Why don't you just go and seek the Lord and ask him? Rebecca, I don't know. Why don't you just go and ask him? So she went to the Lord. However we do this. I know I find a very interesting human factor in these stories, that they're no different of a couple than you're a couple. My wife and myself, you know, we talk together, we communicate together. The Lord told her something about these twins in her room, and she never, in her womb, and she never said anything to Isaac about that. I'm not buying that storyline. Let's translate that many years later, when all of a sudden, when Isaac's eyes grow dim and he can't see anymore. This is not my message, but here's the thought. This is where this thought came from, this spiritual thought came from. He had no idea what was going on when Esau was out hunting. He loved Esau. We'll get to that in a second. When Esau was out hunting and bringing him back game, and Rebekah hatched a plan that the birthright would be stolen away. And we're going to see Esau makes a mistake earlier in life. So we understand the scripture that says, Jacob I love, Esau I've hated. That's kind of the English translation of that is rough. It sounds harsh. It wasn't like that at all, which I'm not really trying to explain that necessarily. But the idea that he was clueless, he didn't understand what was going on there. When God says that the older will serve the younger, it played right into the hand and the plan of God and in the life. Because this is how it was going to be as they move forward in history. When the boys grew up, Esau became a skillful hunter, a man of the field. But Jacob was a peaceful man, living in tents. Now Isaac loved Esau because he had a taste for game. He loved his wild game. But Rebekah loved Jacob. I know you've heard the commentaries, or you hear people preaching, he was a mommy's boy, whatever. I look at it as God had his hand on Jacob's life, you know, and that's the important thing to me. Because I don't always know how children are raised. I did my best, three girls, not to have any favorites. Tried to be, you know, that person that would just look at them like their own individual. And there's a right and wrong. If you do right, you're continually blessed from my hand. And if you do wrong, there's going to be problems, depending on the wrong that it is. There's going to be issues with me. I'm going to come to you. So that moving forward, he says Esau's like comes in from his hunt. I'm famished. He must have had a really bad hunt, right? Esau said to Jacob, please let me have a swallow of that red stuff there, for I'm famished. Therefore, now this is a spiritual principle being spoken about here. There's something of value and importance. God has called you. God has called you. God has called you. How much do you value that? He's called you into his kingdom. You are sons and daughters of the Most High God. I can bless you all today because you're here sitting in the seat. You're where God wants you to be. I'm not picking on anybody else. That's not the point. The point is that how much do you value the life that you have? Give me some of that. I'm famished. But Jacob said, first sell me your birthright. Like, this is some huge, like, what was he kidding? Did Esau think he was kidding? How important is this? The birthright in this culture was so important. Esau said, behold, oh my gosh, I'm about to die. So of what use is the birthright to me? I'm just going to flop around here on the ground and take my last breath and flop out because I didn't get any food. Wow. I'm just seeing huge exaggeration here in his life. I know people like this. They just like, this guy will bump his foot at work and it's like, oh my God, oh my God. Really? You know people like that. Come on. She's... Okay, praise God. Jacob said, first, swear to me. Swear to me, swear to me. So he swore to him and sold his birthright to Jacob. Now Jacob gave Esau bread and lentil stew, and he ate and drank and rose up and went his way. I wonder if he even said thank you. Thus Esau despised his birthright, and that's the point. That's the point. So the legacy is moving forward with him, with Abraham. And so just for my own edification, I decided to say, because you can with these electronic devices, I know if you have them or you're interested in this at all, you do this. Abraham, how important of a figure is he? So I thought, well, how many times is he mentioned in the New Testament? Just out of curiosity, you've probably done this before, right, Gene? 70 times he's mentioned in the New Testament. 70. He's not an insignificant figure. So what shall we say Abraham, our father, has found? Well, it looks like other people were looking, not just me, looking to see the influence, not just physical influence, because he had a physical son through miraculous means, had a physical son, had a large family, he was married a couple times, all these things that happened to his life, but there's so many spiritual significance hidden in his life. So what shall we say Abraham, our father, has found? So with that, let me jump to the New Testament, just take a couple seconds, and look at the New Testament. As soon as I get this to go away. Yes. So we find him, obviously, all through the Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. It's all through there. Most significantly, we begin to find him in Acts, in the 7th chapter, when Stephen is ready to be stoned, he brings up Father Abraham. Because Jesus, when he was challenged, the great defense of the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the religious people, the Jewish people. Abraham is our father. Their identification was with Abraham. Abraham was our father. They did not see the significance of who he was and what he was in the plan of God. So what shall we say Abraham, our father, was found? He was right in the plan of God for his life. In the idea of believing God for the promise. Believing God for the promise. Now, each one of us, we could look into our own soul, into our own mind, and we could wonder, because it's not the same answer for everybody. And this is what I'm saying. Did God promise you something? Well, he promised us salvation, right? That's all of us. But he'll come and visit people, and he'll promise them something. And that might be, that's you. He promised you something. It may be something you've been praying about. I want to tell you today, God's faithful, and he will bring it about in your life. He will bring it about in your life. So, here he is, the high priest. Are these things so? Stephen, standing up, he's being tested. He's being a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. He's being tested. And here he goes. He said, hear me, brethren and father, the God who appeared to our father Abraham. This is the storyline. This is what we were just doing for the last several weeks here. He appeared to Father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia, where he lived in Haran. And said to him, leave your country. Well, the Old Testament says go. Jesus said go into all the world. That's why I was making this connection. Go. Then he left the land of the Chaldeans and settled in Haran. From there, after his father died, God gave him had him move to the country in which you are now living. Here we are. We're living in this country. This is the promise of Abraham, you are living here. This is what he told them. But he gave no inheritance in it, not a foot of ground. And yet even when he had no children, he promised that he would give it to him as a possession and to his descendants after them. But God spoke to this effect, that the descendants would be aliens. And remember, this is a dark time in Abraham when he got ready to have this. He had this dream. He had a sacrifice. He had a sacrifice all split and laid out. And all of a sudden, he went into this dream and this trance. And it was dark and it was terrifying. He was terrified. I liken this to what Pastor Bill had just recently said, to be honest with you, in the trial and test that he's been through. And that's all he can do right now. Since I'm on antibiotic and since I can't sleep, I might as well pray and read and listen to the word and worship. And things are being revealed to him in spirit now concerning the last days, concerning church, concerning vision and things for not just this house and the house that he's responsible for, you know, our lives, to pray over us, to bring the word of God to us in faithfulness, to bring the word of Christ. You know, so I'm excited for him to come back and begin to teach, because we're going to benefit. Now listen to this very carefully, because you will find this in the New Testament. We will benefit, be careful how you hear it, from his sufferings. We're going to benefit from that, because the Lord is showing him some things, and it's going to be rich in spirit. Paul said the same thing. You are all benefiting from my sufferings. You all can run, because you don't have chains on you. So my expectation is higher now to receive from the Spirit of God, from him, that I will benefit from the things that he's been through. Of course, we're praying for him. Of course, we want him well and whole and lift him up. And just to end this session, the Lord told me, him and I were supposed to go to Baltimore together this Friday and Saturday. He got a place down there, you know, in a hotel. We're going to rent a place. We're going to go there. Brother Ema's in town. The team is in town. Brother Ema and Chinre is in town. So we're going to go down right to the last hour. Right to the last hour he was hoping to go. And then he realized he just wouldn't be able to do it. Well, we already talked about it. I'm going. And he would say to you, I'm going, but physical things. So I got ready to take my shower on Friday afternoon, early Friday afternoon, take my shower. The Lord told me, you'll love this, Steve. The Lord told me, take a towel with you. Take a towel with you and have Brother Ema lay his hands on that towel and that oil. Oil on the towel. Sister Chin, put your hands on this. And all the people were in agreement down there to doing this. They were all excited because they all know Pastor Bill. He's influenced their life. He was like in a sense, an Abraham going over there to Nigeria. And he was speaking to them and bringing the word of God to them. Well, the short story of it is, lay the towel. I text Donna on my way home late on Friday night. I'm late home. I know they're in bed. I know you're in bed. I don't care. I'm sorry, I love you, but I don't care. Because this is immediate. This is what the Lord said, right? And we have to not hesitate. When the Lord tells you, don't hesitate. I took it down. They were all in agreement with it. They prayed over that towel. The anointing went in that towel. I brought that towel back. Just sit it out front. You know, I don't want to disturb that dog. You know, that's the funny part of the story. Yeah, and I'm trying to get out of this story, but here it is. He sent me a text. I wish I could read it to you right now. He said, I haven't slept as good in months. I hope he slept with it. You know, this was my hope. Now, he'll have his own spin on the testimony here. I'm just sharing what he texted me. He said, my sore throat's gone. He's been suffering with this since Monday, Steve, Monday. He said, it's gone. So I'm excited. I'm excited that the anointing breaks the yoke and that we can be obedient to the word of God and we can do what he says and he will do what he promised. And there's more to the story, but nevertheless, we have to stop.